Ladies and gentlemen, how much value do you attach to religious doctrine? Do you believe doctrine is important? Have you ever heard anyone say, just leave out doctrine and preach Jesus? People with this persuasion of mind seemingly think that doctrinal preaching is not preaching Jesus, evidently believing that Jesus has no doctrine. But my friends, the Bible is a book of doctrines, and especially the doctrine of Jesus Christ. The Bible emphasizes the importance of doctrine. Perhaps you have heard someone say something like this, doctrine is not important. All that matters is the sincerity of one's heart. One doctrine is no better than another. In fact, one doctrine is just as good as another. Have you ever heard that? Beloved, where does the Bible teach that one doctrine is just as good as another? Where does the Bible say that doctrine is not important? Where did God ever say that all that matters is sincerity of soul and nothing else is of any consequence? Beloved, I tell you there is all the difference in the world in what men say in the name of religion and what the Bible actually teaches. I propose the question, if doctrine is not important, then why is the Bible so punctuated with doctrine? Perhaps if more people understood the meaning of the word doctrine, they would not be so misunderstanding of the word of the Lord. Doctrine refers to teaching. In a number of passages where this term is in the original, the King James Version will employ the word doctrine, whereas the American Standard Version will employ the word teaching. I now present some examples of this in comparison of these verses. First, let us consider John 17:16-17. The King James Version says, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now this same passage in the American Standard reads, my teaching is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man willeth to do his will, he shall know the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. The King James rendering of Acts 2:42 is, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. The American Standard Version says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship. In 2 John 9:10, the King James Version reads, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And if I come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. This same passage in the American Standard Version reads, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. If anyone cometh unto you and bringeth not this teaching, receive him not into your house and give him no greeting. Surely these passages constitute sufficient proof that doctrine means teaching and teaching means doctrine. To say that doctrine is not important, as some do, is equal to saying that teaching is not important, such as a declaration that the teaching of Jesus is unimportant. Yet, you know, the false teacher of this era will employ teaching to teach us that teaching is not important. Is that not rather strange? That is somewhat like the man who will argue that it is wrong to argue, will debate that it is wrong to debate, and will become intolerant in speaking the praises of tolerance. To say that teaching is not practical and that which is practical is not teaching shows that a person does not really understand the basic doctrine or teaching of the Bible. To say that teaching is not important is equal to saying that which is taught of the Bible is not important. Does that mean that the Bible doctrine of God is unimportant? Does it mean the teaching of Christ is unimportant? Does this mean that teaching we are to do about the gospel that saves is unimportant? My friends, don't you know that to say that one teaching is just as good as another is equal to saying that the teaching that originates with Satan or the church of Satan is just as good as the teaching that comes from Christ? It is equal to saying that the teaching of a false teacher is just as good as the teaching that comes from an inspired apostle or prophet of the Lord. If not, why not? Don't you know that it is equal to saying that teaching that comes from the Koran or the Holy Book of Muslim religion is just as good as the teaching that comes from the Bible? It is equal to saying that the teaching that comes from the atheist and the infidel is just as good as that which comes from Paul and Peter and James and John or other writers of the New Testament. If not, why not? It is equal to saying that the teaching which come from the occult movement, the forces of Satanism, or the latest word of the astrologers, is just as binding, just as powerful, and just as worthy of acceptation as that which comes from the infinite mind of God revealed in the Bible. If not, why not? My friends, hear me. Are you listening? One doctrine is not as good as another. The doctrine of Balaam is not as good as the doctrine of Christ as taught in the Bible. The doctrines of demons are not as good as the doctrine of Christ. The doctrines and commandments of men are not in the same class as the apostles' doctrine. The Bible teaches us against the doctrines and commandments of men, as I shall point out to you later. All the sincerity in the world cannot change the doctrine of Satan into the doctrine of God. You should know that. All the education and sincerity in the world cannot change the doctrines of demons into the doctrine of Christ. All the sincerity in the world cannot change the doctrine of the Nicolaitans into a doctrine of moral cleanness, one which the Lord will accept. Saul of Tarsus was sincere when first introduced to us in the Bible, but later he wrote that he was the chief of sinners, you know. He was wrong about his religion. He was with the wrong group. He was seeking to worship God under a law which had been abolished. All the sincerity of his soul could not change the wrong of Phariseeism into the right of Christianity. God required sincerity, but sincerity alone has never possessed the power to change a lie into the truth, immorality into morality, the indecent into the decent, and falsehood into righteousness. Sincerity avails only when it is coupled with truth, and that is precisely what we mean when we speak of the right doctrine, as the Bible says, sound doctrine. It is so important. My friends, the Bible has much to say in regard to false doctrine. In Matthew 15:9, Jesus declared, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men." If one doctrine is good as another, why did Jesus give this warning? If doctrine makes no difference, why not the doctrines and precepts of men be just as good as the doctrine of Almighty God? Evidently, our Lord considered doctrine was very important. Otherwise, he would not have warned his generation about the doctrines and commandments of men, saying, "In vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the commandments of men." In Matthew 16:6, Jesus said to his disciples, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." What did the Lord mean by leaven? In Matthew 16:12, proves the answer. "Then understood they that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees." The King James Version at this point uses the word doctrine. If one doctrine is as good as another, then why this warning? If doctrine is totally unimportant, why bother with the discourse such as found in Matthew 16:6-12, which our Lord gave in condemnation of false doctrines? Does any listener really think that the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees was just as good and as powerful as the doctrine taught by Christ? Remember that the doctrine of the Sadducees included a denial of angels, a denial of the spirit world, a denial of the resurrection of the dead, and a denial of another life hereafter, as clearly set forth in Acts 23:8. Beloved, would it make any difference if a person accepted a doctrine that denying such fundamentals of the faith, such as the Sadducees did, Surely you can understand that. Paul stated in Colossians 2, 21 through 22, handle not, nor taste, nor touch, all which things are to perish with the using, after the precepts and doctrines of men. Regarding these doctrines and precepts of men, Paul told the Colossian saints to avoid all contact with them. They were not to handle them. They were not to taste of them. They were not to touch them. Would Paul have said that about the right doctrine or the sound doctrine? Indeed not. Are the precepts and doctrines of men that Paul warned against just as good as the apostolic doctrine he set forth in the Colossian epistle by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Paul states in 1 Timothy 4:1 these words of great import, but the Spirit saith expressly that in the latter times some shall fall away from the faith. Now listen carefully. Are you listening? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Ladies and gentlemen, if one doctrine is good as another, why this warning about the doctrines of demons? Would it be all right to give heed to the doctrines of demons? Paul said it would be wrong to be influenced by these doctrines that originated with demons. In the book of 1 Timothy, Paul talked about the doctrine which is according to godliness. Are the doctrines of demons just as wonderfully and safely as the doctrine of salvation revealed in the Bible according to the doctrine of godliness? In writing to the church at Pergamon, Jesus said in Revelation 2:14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there some that hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. For the word in this text, the King James Version uses the word doctrine. Here then was a doctrine or teaching set forth which belonged to Balaam first, and some in Pergamum of the first century had begun to teach the same thing. It was a doctrine that was geared toward idolatry and immorality. Was that doctrine just as good as the doctrine of purity taught by Christ and His apostles? The Bible also encourages that we teach, believe, and accept the right doctrine. Jesus had that in mind when He said, my teaching, the King James Version used the word doctrine, is not mine, but His that sent me. If any man willeth to do His will, he shall know the teaching or doctrine, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. Does this sound like Jesus thought that doctrine was unimportant? Would you say that the Sermon on the Mount was important? Did you know that it was doctrine? In Matthew 7, 28-29, we are told, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished these words, the multitude were astonished at His doctrine or teaching. For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In the Sermon on the Mount, we have the very important matter of life and death as revealed in the doctrine of Christ. Surely doctrine, therefore, is important. What did the Apostle Paul think of doctrine or apostolic teaching? He wrote in Romans 16:17 these words, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the division and occasion of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which ye learned, and turn away from them. Why this warning if doctrine is unimportant, if one is good as another? In 1 Timothy 4:16, the apostle also stated, take heed to thyself and to thy teaching or doctrine. Continue in these things, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Does this sound like Paul and Timothy were to treat doctrine as being important? In 1 Timothy 6:3, the apostle wrote, if any man teacheth a different doctrine, and consenteth not to sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Are the doctrines dealing with ungodliness just as wholesome and healthy as the doctrine that is according to godliness? Surely not, ladies and gentlemen, and I can believe that you must understand that. To the gospel preacher Titus, the Apostle Paul wrote, but speak thou the things that befit sound doctrine. In all things, showing thyself an ensample of good works, in thy doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Titus 2, verses 1, 7, and 10. My friends, are you listening? Is unsound doctrine as good as sound doctrine? Is the doctrine of Satan just as good as the doctrine of God? What did Luke think about the importance of right doctrine anyway? This is what he said. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, or teaching, and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. You'll read that in Acts 2, verse 42. Is the doctrine taught by the inspired apostles in the same category as that taught by uninspired men who often are bent on destroying human souls with the doctrines and precepts of men? John the Apostle declared in 2 John 9 that to abide in both the Father and the Son, we must abide in the doctrine of Christ. Listen to what he says. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine or teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. How important, therefore, doctrine really is.